Grace be unto you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, amen. Let us this morning unite our hearts in mutual thanksgiving and prayer. Holy and righteous God, our dear Heavenly Father, we thank Thee that we have once again this morning been able to awaken onto this beautiful day which You have granted unto us, that we can be assured even this morning as we have gathered here around Your unperishing Word and into the fellowship of Your children, our brothers and sisters in living faith, that we can this morning remain with our gaze on that which You have prepared for us, when we are able to be assured through Your Word and through our brothers and sisters that have assembled here, when we greet one another and speak with one another, that we are yet traveling on that pathway that will one day bring us onto eternal glory in heaven. We thank You, dear Father, for this opportunity to gather together, and we pray that through Your Word and through our conversation one with another, that we will receive strength for our weak faith. We remember those who are not able, because of their infirmities, to gather with Your children here or wherever they may be in this world, that they also could remain with that patient hope and continue to renew the promises to believe, that they, together with us, could remain traveling until the end of the journey. We remember those who suffer the afflictions of this life, those who sorrow after the loss of loved ones, those who suffer the infirmities of health, or other afflictions that You know have beset many of us. Dear Father, You know our needs. We trust that You will continue to give that which is needed if we continue simply trusting and believing as a little child. You have promised to care for us, even as mothers and fathers care for their little children. We ask, dear Father, that through Your Word You would give us comfort and instruction and assurance. And we pray yet as Your Son has taught us. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. I would first bring greetings of love and God's peace. As you know, I have come from my home congregation there in Managa. I would bring greetings of love and God's peace unto you from your brothers and sisters in faith there. This is the first time that I have come here to serve since you've moved into this beautiful new facility. And very much we have enjoyed and had that same experience that you had only a few years before you did, when we there built and have been able to use that beautiful facility that God has granted unto us. And I know that you also, with much thankfulness, have been able to enjoy and appreciate this new facility that is sufficient for your growing congregation. The theme for this Sunday on our church calendar is thankfulness. And I will read from a text which is not the gospel text for this Sunday, but it is one of the texts that speaks to this theme from another year on the church calendar, found in the Gospel of St. Matthew from the 11th chapter, reading from verses 25 to 30. These are words that Jesus himself is speaking. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Amen. When we think of this theme of thankfulness that is on our church calendar for this Sunday, I think, was it the 15th Sunday after Pentecost? I think we have to say that we certainly have many reasons for thanksgiving. We already sang in the opening a hymn of praise and thanksgiving. And I think when we think of the word and the meaning of thankfulness, contentment goes right along with thankfulness. It's hard to imagine how one could be content and not be thankful. Or on the other hand, it's difficult to imagine how one could be discontent and be thankful. But they certainly go hand in hand. We remember how there are numerous familiar places of Scripture that speak unto thankfulness and contentment. And perhaps one of the ones that comes to our mind quite often when we think of contentment is the words that the Apostle Paul writes unto Timothy when he, towards the end of his first epistle, says that godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. And then another portion of a prayer that was written by, recorded by a wise man, and I remember these words often when I think of this matter of contentment and thankfulness, where in the 30th proverb, the 8th and 9th verses, where he says, "Remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee, and say, Who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal, and take the name of my God in vain." There is much wisdom in those words. We know, even in this matter of how much or how little we have been given in this life, even in temporal things, we know, as that writer has recorded, that there are temptations in both areas. If we have been given much, we may have certain temptations. If we are in want, if we have been given little, there perhaps are different temptations. But we know that there are, regardless of our station in life, even in these temporal things, we have our own temptations that the enemy places before us, and that our sin-prone flesh is so willing and able to attach itself to. We, I'm sure, all have experienced meeting someone somewhere who seemed to be unthankful, and we know that such a person perhaps most likely is jealous over what perhaps someone else has, and they can be of a bitter mind, and we find that it's difficult for us to be around such a one. We know, as Timothy also, remember in his second epistle, he describes how at the end times how people will become. And when we think of this description, and when we see what is going on around us in our society, we have to say that certainly those things also have come to fruition. Where he says in this way how in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. And so, these things also we know are not far from any of us. We carry this sin-corrupt portion that each person in this life carries. And so oftentimes we find that unless we consciously pause and think of those blessings that we have received, how easy it is for us to forget. Our memories in these things, remembering to give thanks always unto the Heavenly Father, the giver of all good gifts, seems to be very short. Even how often would we think in the middle of our daily life, whether we're at work or at home as a mother caring for the children, to stop and pause and in our hearts and minds give thanks unto the Heavenly Father for the, first of all, for the greatest of gifts that one can own in this life, that we are able to be a child of God, that we have been given the gift of living faith, and we are surrounded here in this life by escorts who desire to help us on the way to heaven, and that we have even been granted the gift of health and food and everything else that we know, as Luther describes when he explains the first article of the Creed, those things that belong to our daily bread, and how he has given us a livelihood and an income so that we can support our families. He has given us friends in faith. He has given us the, even as we drive here this morning, the beauty of his creation in the lush green grasses and fields and the trees and so on. And for many other things we know that we find ourselves, when we pause to think of the reason for thanksgiving, so many reasons we have. But I don't know if it's the same with you as it is, it seems, with me. We can have many things in our life that go well. But perhaps one area of our life isn't going so well. And we can so easily begin to dwell and focus on that part and forget all the blessings and all the things that have gone well. But we can easily complain and be discontent with even that one small part that doesn't seem to be going as we would want it to be. And sometimes it can be that we don't have the appreciation or thankfulness for something, even something as basic as our own health, until perhaps something happens that we have lost a gift. Then we can comprehend perhaps how precious that was and how much more we ought to have been thankful for the blessings that God has given into our lives. We remember when we read of the life of King David, how he had in his life many ups and downs. We can think of his life even as a roller coaster ride. And we remember how oftentimes when he was able to comprehend how God had so richly and freely forgiven him for his wrongdoings, how David very beautifully in his Psalms rejoices over this, that he is able to be a child of God. And just even as one example, I would read from the beginning of the 103rd Psalm, where he here also is reminding us to be thankful and to praise the Heavenly Father for His blessings. Where he says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles." So here we read in our text also, Jesus thanking the Heavenly Father. And this is certainly the reason that the main reason that we want to thank our Heavenly Father even this morning, that He has revealed these matters of living faith unto us. This is it not one of the greatest or the greatest miracle that we can experience in this life, that in spite of my own wretchedness, I can still own the possibility of heaven? He had just prior to this portion that we read, been rebuking the inhabitants of some of those cities where he did most or very much of his work, performed his miracles, and did his teaching. And we would think in our mind that if we would have been able to experience personally his teaching work, see those miracles that he performed, that it would have been easy to believe. But Jesus here is rebuking those inhabitants, for even though they had seen and him do these many mighty works, that yet they did not desire to repent and to believe. And we remember how he says, even thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shalt be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. And then he thanks God, as we read, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. We know, as Luther also explains in his explanation of the Creed, how when he speaks of creation, how wisdom, our minds, our logic, our abilities are all gifts that God has given unto us. We know that wisdom and reason is a great blessing that is certainly very important for this temporal life. And it is good and well that we put this reason and wisdom to work, and that we, even in these things, better ourselves and gain more wisdom through education and experience. But we see here, as Jesus here speaks, we understand by faith that though this gift of reason is a great gift that God has given us for this temporal life, it does not, no matter how wise we are. We know there were many wise who heard and who saw what Jesus taught and did, the miracles that he performed and so on. Or he even speaks of those wise and prudent people. But how those things of faith were hid from those wise and prudent ones, and how they were revealed unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. We know how this world and this especially society in which we live here in our land, in our time, worships wisdom and accomplishments in this temporal life. But this reason and wisdom of the temporal mind, we understand, does not reveal these mysteries of faith. And as even those wise men, wise people there, who were there and experienced the time of Jesus' mighty works, they weren't able to comprehend these things. They were not thankful and grateful for this time of visitation that was there in their midst, when they had this opportunity to hear his teaching. And so Jesus here rebukes them for this. But we remember how the apostle Paul speaks to this matter when he writes in his first epistle to the Corinthians. He says, "For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God." And also, he says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world?" And so even in these things we know, and Jesus even had to teach his own disciples when there were those times that they began to ponder that who was the greatest among them. And we remember how Jesus gave the example of a little child. And so it is that even in our lives, we need to pray that we could remain as a little child. We know that we can have the gifts and abilities of wisdom and reason for this life, but we know that these things can be a stumbling block when it comes to the matters of living faith. We can't begin to understand. And they, when we ponder them with our mind is always contrary to what the Word of God teaches and God's Holy Spirit reveals unto us through faith. It just doesn't add up in our carnal mind and reason. But remember how Jesus exhorts that everyone, as a priority in their life, would seek for this kingdom that is here upon this earth and His righteousness. And so we know how one is able to find this kingdom here on this earth. It has been promised to the seeking ones that they will be able to find God's kingdom and His righteousness. When one is simply able to humbly believe that message with a childlike mind, not beginning to build upon that which they have been able to accomplish in this life, but one who is able to, in humility, be empty, then God is able to find a place in that heart. And God is able to, we have experienced, able to lead such a one to a child of God. As it happened already, we know, in the time of Jesus, and when after He had died, when His disciples continued that work that had been given unto them to do. I remember how Peter was led by God there to the house of Cornelius, for instance, who had found favor with God. He was seeking in his own heart for that peace that can only come when one is assured that their sins and wrongdoings have all been forgiven, and through that merit work that Jesus has accomplished. And so it happens yet today. We hear of those seeking ones who have found God's kingdom, as even not so long ago, a collection of those stories from some of those converted ones has been published, and you have perhaps read. And so we desire to continue with a childlike mind to believe what the carnal mind considers that foolish preaching of the kingdom of God, of the living gospel. And then we read these words, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." We know that this life is a life that also includes much sorrow and suffering for the child of God. But we are here encouraged that we have experienced, when we have been able to travel here in God's kingdom, how when we are in the fellowship of His children, our brothers and sisters in living faith, and when we are able to share our psalms one with another, and when our fellow travelers as ambassadors of Christ, who have been given the authority and the power to preach that message of the gospel of the forgiveness of sins, how we are able to receive strength and comfort and renewed hope, that we can perhaps manage to take a few more steps. God's Word reminds us that we don't need to remember those shortcomings and those sins of the previous days. We don't need to worry how we will possibly be able to remain traveling next week or next month. All we need to concern ourselves is with this moment, that my sins are forgiven. And so even of this, you this morning, be assured that you have come to a good place where you are surrounded by those messengers, that you can hear that message of the forgiveness that is offered unto you, and the assurance that you are traveling on the pathway that leads to heaven. And so even for this, as our theme touches on this matter of thankfulness, we know that we have much to be thankful for. And the greatest reason is in that message that Jesus in the Gospel of John says, where he tells us that God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him will not perish, but would be able to inherit eternal life. And so that promise is made unto you also. If you can, with simple childlike faith, as a small child trusts in the care of the mother and father, you also have permission, and you are encouraged by God's holy word and by your fellow travelers to personally put your trust in him who has suffered and died and shed his innocent blood for you. It is sufficient for all those sins that you have found yourself falling into. And even this morning, as a poor servant, I want to encourage you to uplift your heart as you have come here this morning and personally believe that gospel, believe all of your sins and even the doubts that have perhaps beset you this morning, forgiven in Jesus' name and precious atoning blood. Believe unto peace, unto freedom, and unto joy. We have much reason for thankfulness, do we not? When we have, and we can remain even this morning, with that living hope of heaven in our heart, the hope that we can one day be together with those who have gone before, singing praises of thanksgiving there as we ought when we find ourselves so unable to do as we should here. I know that even as we live here in this life, our life will never be perfect. But there in heaven, there is no more sorrow, but only joy. I also find myself, even before this theme which we considered this morning of thankfulness, to fall short. I ask that, can I also hear that gospel? Can I believe my sins forgiven? I want to believe with you. In Jesus' name, amen. We unite in benediction. The Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make His face shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift up His countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.